Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mercury Midday News. This is Kara Santucci, your regular host. I'm here alone in studio today, but don't worry because we're going to have a guest come on in a little bit. I also apologize for my voice and my energy today. I'm sick. It's springtime. It's allergies. It's happening, and I apologize, but I'm going to push through. But for that reason today, aside from the interview portion, might be a little more music heavy than usual, but that's okay because it's almost spring break and that's appropriate for, you know, what we're all about here. So just to get started off, the weather today, if you've been outside, it's cloudy, it's windy, it's kind of uncomfortable. It's high of 78 with a low of 62. Tomorrow looks to be 70, and then a low of 56 and cloudy. That's Friday. And then for Saturday, it's a high of 72 and a low of 40 with thunderstorms. And then on Sunday, it looks to be a high of 59 and a low of 40 and sunny again. So if you're staying in town for spring break, which there's no shame in that, have yourself a staycation. The weather will be pretty beautiful except for the one rainy day. The Dow is down 23.89 and the NASDAQ is down 2.20. If you're looking for something to do, over the weekend, campus is a little slow if you're sticking around, but on March 9th at Rose Hall South, 2.002 from 6 to 8 p.m., the Origami Club is meeting to fold some paper and have some fun. March 10th, Dining Hall West from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's see, what's today? Oh, it's the 9th. Wow. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's $5 spirit lunch if you're wearing UTD colors, so go take advantage of that and get yourself a cheap meal. And then March 14th in SSB 4.300 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Gallerstein Women's Center weekly Tea Tuesday to sit down with them and talk and figure out what they're doing and what they're all about. So that'll be really exciting. You're listening to Radio UTD, the student-run radio station for the University of Texas at Dallas, streaming live from the Student Union located in Richardson, Texas. If at any point in the show you'd like to call in, the number is 972-883-6305, or I am Radio UTD, all one word, on Skype. Please only audio call us on Skype if that's what you want to do. We will not pick up if you try to video call us. That will be uncomfortable. Couple things to remember. This spring break, kick it off with Radio UTD at the Karaoke at the Pub event this Thursday at 7 p.m. There'll be thousands of songs. I've been to one of these events before. People get really into it. It's really funny. So go out there, have some fun. And then if you're looking for something to do over spring break, there's a road trip to West Texas for Martha Myths, which I'm assuming is a concert. It's a, oh, here we go. It's an annual music, art, and cultural festival that's taking place from March 9th to 12th. Enjoy performances by Julia Holter, Perfume Genius, A La La's, and more, plus art installations, yoga, and time to explore the famous Marfa landmarks. So that sounds really fun. Good place to get outside, enjoy some art, enjoy some culture. So if you're looking for something to do, that'll be going on this weekend. And that's something that Radio UTD is promoting as well through their organization, or I guess our organization, since I'm a part of that. Another quick announcement, not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after March 21st, the Mercury and Student Media is coming together to host a presidential forum for people to come by, interview candidates, meet who's going to be running for SGE president and vice president, and some of the senators, pick their brain, you know, really get this is a really good opportunity to get involved in campus politically because these people will be making decisions that impact how your fees and your money is being allocated, and also the people that are in charge are going to be working for your interests. So if you want to be sure that your specific interests are heard and recognized, come to that event. It's March 21st from 1 to 2:30 p.m. in the first floor of the Student Union where the ping pong tables usually are, but they will not be there. So yeah, keep that in mind. I'll probably mention that later in the show because I'm really excited about that. But we're going to take a little music break with some new music. This song is called Contact by Froth from the new album Outside, in parentheses, briefly. We'll be right back.
Slowly. fly. But here we are still standing on the border of our lives. Here we are still standing. You never came running after me, I needed you to. There were times I lied and there were times you were untrue. But after all the big parade has come and gone right through, here we are still standing. Still standing, standing, here we are. Still standing, standing, here we are. Still standing, standing, here we are. Still standing, standing. And when the mountains fall and the hills, they turn to dust. And what's shiny and what's new is all turned to rust. Time will keep on telling me the story of us. Here we are still standing. I swore on a bed I would show. Yeah, I my only truth. And here we are still standing. Still standing, standing. Standing, standing, here we are. Just standing.
Hi, I'm Summer LaBelle, and I'm the sports editor at UTD Mercury, and you're listening to Mercury Midday News on Radio UTD.
All right, hello everyone. We are back in studio. I hope you enjoyed that little music interlude, which is something we don't really do too much on our show, but as I said, it's a lazy day. It's the last one before spring break, and I'm sick, and I don't really want to talk a lot. But we are in the studio right now with Christian Briggs.
Hello.
Junior?
Yes.
Computer science junior and the president of Texas Rising at UTD. If you picked up a paper, which I'm sure you all did, you might have seen the brief on the bottom of the first page, which detailed some stuff about how Texas Rising and some other local groups around this state mobilized people to go to the Texas Capitol and testify against the bathroom bill that is in the hearing stage. And currently, it passed in the hearing stage?
It passed in the committee, and it's going to go off to the Senate floor vote.
Okay, so yeah, it's heading to a floor. But before we talk about all that, why don't we just talk a little bit about what it was like to go down there and give testimony? Had you done that before or anything?
I've been down there to speak with officials and to lobby officials and help coordinate policy, but never to give testimony in the committee, at least not in Texas. So this was a first to that, and it was a terrible experience. It was super late. It's not that it was sad. It was fun hanging out with a bunch of people, but the fact that we had to stay there till 5:30 wasn't fun.
Yeah, you said you went on at 5:30 a.m.
We went on at 4:30 a.m., but okay. We waited until afterwards because we wanted to hear what the results were, and we eventually just gave up and went home.
Were you the last ones to testify or no?
No, there was one more. There was one more person from Texas Freedom Network, but there were more people after us. The wild majority was against the bill, though.
Okay. Oh, were there some people that spoke in favor?
Yes, but a very, very small amount. Most of them were at the very beginning of the day.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. I guess tell me a little bit about the process of going down there. So I just tweeted a picture, if you're following us on Merck Midday News, which is from Christian through the Texas Freedom Network. We got that picture. And is this you during testimony?
Yeah, it's an awkward picture.
But you ended up testifying. I know we had spoken before and you weren't sure if you were gonna end up.
Yeah, I did end up testifying.
So I guess who made that decision? Was that Ben?
They just wanted more people to testify, and so I just went, okay, I guess. So yeah.
Well, I know you have your phone with you. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you said during the testimony?
My particular testimony, just because I didn't have a lot of personal experience since I'm not trans or in any way, shape, or form, was mainly just talking about the legality of it, because if you actually read the bill, they did slightly change it, but they only removed certain redundancies. Outside of that, information I'm about to tell you is true. Essentially, whenever anything happens, this bill doesn't necessarily say that that they have to, you know, arrest a person if they go into the bathroom not conforming with their birth certificate. But it does...
And that's a change, right, from the original bill, or no?
No, it's not. That's always been the case. But if the actual facility itself, and this is for anything that gets public funding, if that facility doesn't have any policy in place to prevent this, the Attorney General can investigate and then determine whether or not they're in violation. However, this law is incredibly vague, to an extreme. So essentially, it's the only, I guess, requirement for the complainant is to be a complainant. There isn't a extremely arduous process to actually file a complaint. You don't have to have really any proof or evidence. And so it means that the Attorney General's office is most likely going to be just completely flooded with a bunch of false accusations.
So it kind of has to come from someone reporting.
Mm-hmm. You can't be anonymous, I don't think, but
But it's not like the Attorney General is going to go around in every single public building and proactively start an investigation. They're going to wait until they hear a complaint. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and so what that essentially means is that because I know in North Carolina that it really increased suspicion of people who are who are cisgendered, and they just didn't look their gender enough that day. And so that's most likely going to be a lot of either A, just false cases or unverifiable cases, just because the only true evidence you can really get of those instances occurring is, you know, if you have a camera of some kind. So what this is most likely going to turn into is just if they get a report, they're going to investigate the facility itself to see if they have any strong policy preventing trans people from using the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity. So it's going to be specifically targeting places that are chosenly more progressive. It removes that local control that, you know, the GOP has a heavy tendency to like to push and then completely refuse.
Right.
Basic idealism typically doesn't work too well. So it removes a lot of the ability for, like, school districts, et cetera, to, because this affects our campus as well,
right,
to have more, I guess, progressive policies in that region. But so essentially it would mean that the attorney general would go investigate, and if they find that this doesn't comply with the law, however, of course, again, there is no specific requirements as to what the procedures of an entity needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely subjective to the attorney general at the time as to whether or not they are, quote, complying, and to what requirements they must meet in order for them to be at their standard. So it's we don't know what it's going to look like until the attorney general starts to say, since so much of the requirements and decision making is within the bureaucratic sphere as opposed to written down word for word in the law. So it's at the complete conjecture of the bureaucracy of Texas, which can be incredibly problematic depending on who's there, because a lot of these officials aren't elected.
Right. I think I was going to ask, in the committee, I know you said you left because it was just taking too long,
mm-hmm.
but when they announce their votes, do they have to sort of back up their reasoning against all the complaints that were brought against the bill, or can they just
They can do that, but they don't have to.
Okay. Do you know if they did in this instance?
I don't, but I do know that they added provisions to defend themselves, essentially. They added a provision in the bill that explained the purpose of the bill. However, it has no legal ties to it. It doesn't. It's not the actual law. It's just in the bill they're explaining what they intend the bill to be. However, as we all know, that's not going to be the effect of the bill, since so much of the decision-making as to whether or not those facilities are following their requirements and what that looks like
right.
is handled by the Attorney General's office and what they consider to be complying or not.
Did any UTD students go with you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
We had quite a few people.
Really? Were they mostly from Texas Rising, or where did you mobilize these people from?
We had a few people from Texas Rising, a few people from Pride and Rainbow Guard at our university. We had someone who was just a friend and wanted to come, so, I mean, why not?
Right. So how many of you testified of all of you that came?
We had 7 people go, and 6 of us testified.
Okay. What was the nature of the testimony, would you say, like, for the other students from UTD? Like, what did they cover?
I know John covered the redundancies in the bill. Essentially, in its original form before they gave their revisions at the end of the night, it had provisions in there that said, you know, if you, like, any violent crimes, essentially, not necessarily, like, there are some that weren't included, weirdly enough. But, like, any, like, violent sexual crimes that committed in the bathroom, if you're in the wrong bathroom, air quotes, that has a steeper penalty.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's really peculiar because we know for absolute certainty that's not going to, like, de-incentivize people from committing those crimes within those facilities. And even then, that's probably not going to reduce the occurrence of the crime overall. Because, I mean, I'm all for having stiffer penalties on violent crimes. The fact that, you know, nonviolent drug offenders have a heavy tendency to have longer sentences than child molesters is really weird, and it's a disgusting, like, flipped priorities in our state.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, of course, not their intention. They eventually removed it. That's what he discussed. I know that Akira discussed their experiences because they were trans, and I know Zoe Jones did as well. But most people just gave their either saying, you know, the university, it's like a student government voted against this, and the wild majority of our campus, like 90-something percent, voted that they're against SB6. pretty much saying we as young people are heavily against this bill. But, oh well, I mean, hey, we're going to be voting in the midterms, at least. I sincerely hope you all vote in the midterms. So, bye.
Is there another opportunity for testimony in the process? Like, after the Senate floor, is there a Senate hearing, or is that it?
It goes to the House floor, but we can do a bunch of lobbying then. Okay. So that's probably what's going to end up happening. I think that's happening here soon, but I haven't gotten an exact date. When it goes to the House, then we'll have another chance to talk. So
right. It's tricky. I mean, I've been reading up on, like,
the process. I know.
Yeah,
it's,
how
it's
a bill becomes a law, and, like, there are different things say different things, and depending on what the Attorney General or the Governor wants, they can, like, alter the path of the bill too, as well, which is
however, I'm pretty sure that the Speaker of the House is against it, so
bathroom bill.
Mm-hmm. So he might want to drag out the process to try and kill it.
Is he Republican?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He's considered more of a moderate, just because a few years ago they used to have a pretty extremist Speaker of the House, and to the point where it was going to harm the GOP, at least in their thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats joined together with the Republicans to at least get a more moderate. That's why for the past two sessions, the Democrats had a de facto veto ability, but now they've essentially lost that because the Republicans swept pretty hard.
Do you have, or I guess, were you in the room the whole time it was happening, or did you?
No, I was in the observation area for quite a while, so, yeah.
Is that how it has to work, like you have to wait?
Yeah, just because there's so many people in the room. Whenever you know, new seats come in, they let, like, another group of, like, four or so go in, because there's about four or five at a time to giving testimony.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like there was a pretty big turnout based on the kind of pictures I was seeing. And it's unfortunate, of course, for you that you guys went down there. I mean, is it discouraging? Do you think that you put all this time and work into it? And
to be honest, we already knew that it was going to pass.
Yeah. Okay.
All of them gave their strong support, except for one of the committee members. I can't remember her name, but she's a Democrat from Laredo. She's a very nice lady.
She voted against. Yeah, she the one that voted against.
She voted
I know
against
it was one.
Lucio voted for it, and I sincerely hope that hurts him, because all the Latinx groups that were there were very pissed. So hopefully he has a primary opponent that's going to destroy him. So there you go.
In the midterms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's just he completely flew out of line with the Democratic Party. I know that.
Oh, he was a Democrat and he voted for it. Man, see, I was thinking
the party chair is not happy.
I was thinking people would just be voting along party lines.
Nope.
I guess
Lucio is the only Democrat to support it so far.
Okay.
And he's in the Rio Grande Valley. So yeah, but as I said again, all the Latinx groups that spoke were not happy. We've had people from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce come, and they were excruciatingly pissed, because, I mean, a lot of the Latinx business groups were not happy, because, of course, this is going to heavily affect the business organizations. Yeah. But also, they did have one of the speakers, I can't remember where he's from, because they invited speakers at the very beginning. That's why it took so long. That's why we didn't really start having our own testimony till about 11. Mm-hmm. They had their own speakers come in. They had one of the guys from, goodness, can you think of that organization? They're, like, super anti-LGBT. It's, like, family value type.
Right. Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he came, and it's like, wow, you had a guy that supported, reversion therapy, which is considered torture by the American Psychiatric Association, World Health Association, come speak in favor of this. Wow.
So they invited their United Families International, maybe?
I'm not sure.
Okay, anyway. Interesting.
Yeah.
So they invited a lot of speakers to say this is
In favor of it. Which, but of course, I mean, they're the committee members, and all of them were in favor of it except for one. So, no duh.
Right. What was the reasoning the pro bill speakers were kind of giving?
The people that they invited, they were largely talking about how this won't have a negative economic impact, despite the overwhelming evidence saying it completely will.
Mm-hmm.
And also the massive divestments from North Carolina, but, you know, whatever. but at the same time, the people who were in favor of it who weren't invited they largely gave reasonings of, you know, this is for women's rights and I need a safe space to get changed and this is where I should you know, wash myself and I don't want a man going in there. The incredible fear I felt, I remember this one old lady, she said, the fear I felt, she said that she was at like some campsite bathroom, which isn't even closed in the law, and she was like washing off because, you know, they have showers in a lot of the camp areas in the national parks. And she said that she was in there and she heard a woman's voice and she was like, it's fine. And then she heard a man's voice and she was just like, oh, and then fear, and she touched her chest and the fear that I felt, and she didn't say anything happened, like no assault or anything like that. She just heard a man's voice and was so fearful.
I'm like, was this a testimony?
Yes, it was. I mean, that type of testimony continued to happen, giving largely theoretical situations that has never occurred, or that one particular one that didn't insinuate an assault, just her feeling uncomfortable because she heard a deep voice, because she never said she saw the person,
mm-hmm.
just heard a more male voice. It's like, okay.
Interesting.
But their reasonings fell flat, in my opinion, but, you know.
Right. I mean, it's... What were the reactions of the committee members? Were you looking at them as...
Okay, this was incredibly frustrating. The woman who actually pushed it into the committee, she was usually, like, paying attention most of the time and giving this really creepy smile. But the rest of them usually were looking away, except for the senator from Laredo. I can't remember her name, to be honest. The one that voted in favor of it. She was okay. Very attentive.
Wait,
everyone
in favor or against?
Against.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Everyone else was usually, like, looking away. One lady had her eyes closed, like, half-sleeping for most of the time. Senator Lucio, like, only paid attention when the Latinx groups spoke up, and he tried to, like, give responses back, and they were just like, not having it. I sincerely hope that he gets knocked down, because it looks like anyone and everyone that's any, like, outside group that has supported his campaign was not happy, because any responses they gave were, I mean, people were, all the Latinx group members were almost next to yelling at him, like verbally yelling toward the point where it hurt my ears to listen. But I mean, that's what happens when you completely betray your constituency.
I mean, it sounds like a really interesting situation, given like all the different groups that were coming mm-hmm. together to speak. I guess, so you guys went there, were you a part of Texas Freedom Network?
When we spoke, we didn't speak on behalf of Texas Freedom Network, but that's who helped us get there, and I am an employee of there, so...
Right. I guess, did Texas Freedom Network do their own
No, because they weren't specifically invited to do so. I don't know if Kathy spoke or not, but...
You have to be invited?
For organizations, they can bring a person. You can write it down as being you, but... We're some progressive group, I feel like. I don't know. I don't know if Kathy spoke or not, because if she did, then she would have put herself down as for Texas Freedom Network. But they will typically deprioritize you if you have more than one speaker from one organization.
Oh, okay.
So that's why you just had a bunch of guest testimony. So, because I know that for like for SB4, it went extremely late and they had to cut it off. And so they cut off people if they were speaking for... more than once for the same group. So that's why we were told not to do that.
Gotcha. And
just speak as a constituent. However, our Senator Van Taylor wasn't there. I have tried to talk to him about it. I haven't gotten any response back yet. He seemed pretty neutral on it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. He hasn't been super anti LGBT issues. He's pretty neutral on it. So I'm curious to see how he votes. But the southern portion of his district has been voting stronger and stronger blue, so he might want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's really motivating,
and
I know,
with
for
Leach, too,
incumbents,
but he's
is the constituency, you know, and what they want.
Yeah.
So, did you guys, when you were driving back or after the testimony, did you kind of talk about it at all or regroup or...
The most that we know is that we have to go to we're probably going to end up going to, like, the lobby, the senators, eventually, about the bill before it goes into the House floor debate, which is going to be happening soon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much like, hey, guys, get ready to be super tired again. but, I mean...
In-person lobbying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, quote-unquote lobbying, more of like just having meetings with them and talking to them. Lobbying is technically like a specific thing you have to register for, so right. It's different, but it's essentially the same thing. But we're not representing a business or an entity like
union.
That. Yeah. So it is technically different, but yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that we're in Texas, and so a lot of losses are expected, and when you get involved in things like this, you just become used to it. But being there is really important. I know, I remember Akira said something very, like, I was just like, wow, yeah. You always hear a lot of people talking about, like, civil rights movements and that women's rights movement in the 70s and saying, you know, if I was there, I would do this, or I would get active. Being neutral, that's so terrible. Well, it's right now, literally right now, something's happening. What would you do then? Are you doing it? You know? And I mean, I'm not saying you have to go run down there. I mean, we're all students. We have exams, et cetera. I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying, you know, we have to give even the smallest amount of time that we can, because the history is being made right now. Vote if you can. And if you don't know, I mean, elections are coming up, and if you never voted in them, figure out how. There are resources out there to help you, as in me. Literally, just find our page. We're going to be posting things on there. We're going to also be giving out like a little sheet of saying, you know, of whether they're more on the progressive side or conservative side. And so you can have an understanding relatively of where those people stand on general issues. And I understand, because, I mean, the local races, they're not partisan. So that's what usually, like, prevents people, I guess, people from younger people who aren't heavily involved in local politics from getting involved, because they don't know the individuals themselves, and their websites are almost always very, very vague.
Right.
Because they don't want to give their political opinion too much.
They don't want to give their political opinion.
Well, in regards to like national and statewide politics.
Okay.
Because, I mean, in a lot of cases, local level issues are not very partisan based. I mean, the only thing is, like, non-discrimination ordinances, but, I mean, outside of that, there's not really much national politics getting played into picking up trash.
Right. That is true. Okay, I think those are all the questions I have for you right now, Christian, mm-hmm. But thank you so much for coming on the show again and talking to the Mercury again. But, yeah, definitely keep us posted as far as the quote-unquote lobbying efforts SB6 going forward.
Yeah, get involved. We will drive you down there. It does not cost you anything. And you can even get a free pretty t-shirt. Ooh.
The one you're wearing right now?
Yeah.
Can confirm. It's a cool t-shirt. Is there an email that you would recommend people reach out to?
utd.tfn at gmail.
Okay.
Yeah. Or then christian@tfn.org.
Gotcha.
Either or.
Either one is good. All right. Well, thank you so much. We're going to play some new music. It's Does the Island Know, which I played last show, but still relatively new. So enjoy.
then step back from all of your back pages.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Christian Briggs was on the show today. Again, if you want to email him, it's Christian at Texas Freedom Network, right? Or TFN?
Christian at TFN.org.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing spring break. And we'll see you guys in about a week.
And co-hosted by Nidhi Gottke. The MMN is a converged product of The Mercury, the student-run newspaper at the University of Texas at Dallas and Radio UTD. Music credits Ben Sound and PurplePlanet.com.